Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Oh, we're back after a blistering, chicken skin blistering KFC Royal Rumble special last week. Wow.
Do you know what I did the other day? I ordered some KFC.
Yeah.
And not because we talked about it on the show. Mm. This is before Christmas.
Right.
I was working in a hotel and they gave us...
per diem.
Per diem.
Yeah.
Nothing was open because it was actually in Leicester and we were all in lockdown.
Yeah.
And in hotels, you could order delivery. That's the only thing you could do. So I went back and there were lots of people going stuff around going, oh, is there a Wagamama's up here? And be like, take a fucking day off. Take a day off.
Katsu will be there when you get back.
We all know what we want to eat. We want to eat either KFC or we want to eat Domino's.
Grow up.
Or, I mean, at a push, maybe Nando's,
I want to
right?
eat soil with grease in it. That's what I want. I just want oil and soil.
Oh, what? Sorry, you don't think about Burger King. Grow up. Grow up. So I had that thing of just going, do you know what I'm going to do? Everyone's sort of sitting around here. I'm going to go back to my room and I'm going to order some KFC.
Good.
And then I'm going to pick it up without anyone seeing. Of course, it coincided with everyone leaving. Everyone going, what have you got? And then everyone was like, oh
KFC.
Oh,
sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah.
But anyway, I had that. I tell you what, it was fucking brilliant. It was delicious. Of course it is. It's good KFC.
Mate, delicious.
The game changer was bringing in the breast fillets, you know.
Right.
None of the messing about with the bones.
None
of the
greatest. Yeah.
None of getting the bit that you think is breast meat, but is actually sort of like chest. Where you bite in and you just go, that is just bone.
It's bones, isn't it? I don't even flirt with the big pieces.
No.
I am a 12 spicy wings man.
Oh,
but this,
man.
But they're so delicious.
They are
and
so
the
delicious.
The day I realise they're delicious, But I've expanded. There's a KFC. It's way too far away than what is really necessary. So I've always got to rewarm it. Especially if the delivery driver, like you did last week, just went missing for 15 minutes, turned his phone off. the food came back completely freezing. And I've completely forgetting to get back.
Somebody met a lady. That food will keep. Don't worry, darling. Lovely.
Toast toasty wings. But I've expanded my order into, I don't even get fries anymore.
Whoa.
I get like double mash, double gravy, like the exotic spicy mayonnaises.
I get the
corn. I get a little bit of popcorn chicken.
I get the little spicy rice. I get that because I'm like, look, healthy.
Healthy.
And then I leave it on the side and I don't touch it.
Oh, I love KFC, Mark. It's
Same
my favourite
here.
Thing. That's why I'm ill.
That whole Deliveroo Uber Eats thing is too much of a worrying game changer.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Too much of a worrying game changer. Mm-hmm. I got McDonald's delivered the other day just for lunch. I was just like, I'm going to get some McDonald's. Did that. And it was like, oh, don't worry about the $1.99 thing. You know, actually, you know, we're going to give you a free. So, and I was like, yeah. It's just amazing. That is, I mean, there's nothing to stop me, Pete, going back now.
Well, McDonald's.
After this recording, I just straight away.
Well,
and they'll bring it round, the idiots. They'll bring it round. The fools.
Well, between here and where you live on the Highgate, there's one at the bottom of Archway, isn't there?
There is.
But I used to get all.
Do you know what, Pete? I can go past it and I could go in, get it, take it myself.
Yeah.
I get home now. I'll ring them from the bus, meet them at the door. Woo! Didn't have to waste my time carrying this. Nice. It is just the best thing.
Yeah.
The best thing.
Did I tell you one time, Holloway Road South, Holloway North, Holloway, whatever. One of the Holloway Road train station, next door, KFC. A man, it must have been like half 12. I was a bit half cut. The bloke goes, "Do you want some popcorn chicken?" And he sort of just got his tongs and just fed me over the bar.
I think you have told me, because I know that has happened, because I think about it every time I go into KFC. I think about the joy it must
so
have been.
So weird.
Oh, man. I was once in Canada, and I went to a KFC, and they had a rotisserie chicken that was done in the KFC batter.
Oh,
from
moly.
From the base of the foot all the way up through to the throat. It looked so delicious. And again, because KFC is, you know, it's tawdry. You can't say to someone, "Can we please get that and I'll eat it in the car."
Nando's can fuck off. Like, they're just ticking about. It's like, just put that in batter.
Yeah.
Let's have a little nosh.
I like a Nando's only because when you go to quite bad regional towns,
yeah,
you go, well, at least I'm going to have something hot. That's all it is. I do like a Nando's. People overrate how good Nando's is.
They talk about, they obsess about it. They yeah. talk about it and they go, "Oh, look at this. I've got the hot sauce. I like the hot sauce on you."
Yeah. Hey, guys, stop fighting. Have you not heard of fucking KFC? Because you're going on about Nando's like it's better. KFC. Sponsoring WrestleMe after last week. we came to an agreement and we're very, very pleased.
Yeah.
Very, very pleased indeed.
It's mainly just they're paying us a chicken.
And it's not new chicken. The stuff they have left over, we get to pick up in a skip. The next match after the Royal Rumble, which everyone has enjoyed, is yes. Seth Rollins and the Raw Tag Team Champion Jason Jordan versus Cesaro.
I forgot about this. I mean, I thought we were going straight in the fuck.
I have nothing to say about this match. Nothing at all. Because I've already seen them. We've already had the big climax and everything. This could have been done 24 hours later.
Cesaro
on
and
Raw.
Sheamus have been to the army surplus store and they've got new kilts.
Yeah, they're all... Well, also, Seth Rollins comes out in the same outfit he was wearing in the Royal Rumble. The
dirty
bag.
Boy.
You horrible...
Dirty boy. Dirt. What do you do? Just get the old air conditioner.
Jesus Christ.
Get an air dryer.
I pity your mother having to do your
dirty
washing.
Dirty boy.
Disgusting.
Don't put a black light on him.
But what a stupid thing to do. This show is, without the pre-show, is 4 hours and 5 minutes.
Mm.
And this, again, no show needs to be that long. When you're putting this together, they obviously went, "Oh, well, we need something between the two Royal Rumbles, the KFC Colonel Rumble and the Women's Royal Rumble."
Yeah, the second and the third.
They didn't need to do that with the men's and the Colonel Royal, because they knew both of those were fucking brilliant.
Yeah, bangers.
But they put this match in between. It just pads out a show that you just do not need. If there are too many rumbles on the show, how about you start the show with one and end it with the other?
Mm.
Rather than going, "Let's have two matches there, then the rumble, then the rumble, then the match, then the rumble." Badly laid out.
You may have like one ticket left on the Brock Lesnar contract.
Yes.
Like a poster you see on a telegraph pole.
Do you know what? I'd forgotten about that match. What a shit match as well. Straight after the tag match that you could have done without. Yeah, you get Universal Champion Brock Lesnar versus Kane versus Braun Strowman. Mm. I mean, you know, you can tell from that lineup, it's not going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, it's not great. But it's also hard to watch this. I had to put it on twice. The first time I felt like it was just... I was like, I can't remember anything about this. And the second time I was like, oh, there's nothing to remember.
No.
It's just rubbish.
And to be honest, like a lot of the beards are big and now everyone's got a beard and everyone's bald. So it's just like, I just can't keep track of everyone now.
No.
Everyone's just gone crazy.
This is a reason to keep out Kane and Braun Strowman from the Rumble, because I think they have that thing of going, you know, we can have Shinsuke Nakamura beat everyone, but... not Braun and not Kane. Kane's the best at this. So there is an attempt to sort of divert them.
Yeah.
There's a bit where, you know, they show something that's happened obviously on Raw where Strowman pulls down the backstage onto Brock Lesnar. And all of that stuff is just like, when it gets to attempted murder, it's just, you sort of go, can't we just have it that I'm a wrestler and I'm trying to beat you? And you'll find a way to beat me. It isn't all about going, I'm going to pulverize you into dust by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Why don't you just have a wrestle? Why do you have to be hating each other like two monsters, like Mothra and fucking Godzilla? Why can't you just go, we are both contracted talents who are trying to be the best in our field?
I'm going
to
buy a gun and shoot you. we ended this prom, haven't we? Well, come down to the Metro Dome on Saturday night. I'm going to get a gun and shoot you. Oh, no.
I'm going to inject you with rat poison while you're asleep. Is this selling tickets? Is it selling? I mean, two of the people in here as well, it's that funny thing that, you know, things like pandemics do, where I watch it now and I sort of go, he did that Instagram post about, you know, not wearing your mask. Braun Strowman, quite a sort of, you know, denier, of right. COVID at various points. He's all okay. about liberty and things like that. And Kane obviously is libertarian. He did some Instagram posts about masks. I think he's been largely sort of like, wear them because they work.
Yeah.
But don't wear them because someone's telling you to. You do what you do.
You do what you do, yeah.
Yeah. And if you were going to do it, like, then wonderful.
Like, Ken, why have you decided to become a politician? Telling people what to do?
Well, exactly.
Like, why are you...
His big thing is he wants to be elected so he can devolve government.
Right,
I mean,
okay.
How's it going so far? Because you seem to have been there for quite a while and you've got a nice office and obviously a salary. Oh, yeah, selling
when
out, man.
When he's like piling through the budget, he's like, this is, you know, I wanted to give you more money, but I can't. It's like, this is not libertarian.
Your basic political outlook makes it impossible for you to be a useful part of this process.
Yeah, exactly. You sort of go, why did you want to apply for this job? Because I want to just do nothing in the office. You know, well, we're not going to give you the job, idiot.
Yeah, I want to be voted in so I can continually go in a circle of trying to do something without doing it because like, that's against my beliefs, but I do want to do it. You stupid moron. Brock Lesnar, I shouldn't imagine, is left-wing in any way. I should imagine he looks down on it like a Batman villain the whole pandemic.
Yeah, just goes, sort of yeah,
you puny humans with your lives. You know,
is this going to get the sheep from the North Field?
Yeah,
into
exactly
the South
that.
Field?
Although, as you say, I mean, like, he lives in like rural Canada on yeah. a huge, like, you know, empty estate where he's essentially the Unabomber, but with, but he's not interested in just politics.
Push a building over. Yeah.
He is a frightening man. He does frighten me very, very bad.
I've been watching a TV show called Married at First Sight Australia. Uh-huh. Very popular at the moment for some bloody reason. Mm. But it's just a set of people who. Can't who have been given impossible characters to keep up and impossible situations to keep up with by the writers, and they're not good actors.
Uh-huh.
But all of the men look like farmhands. They're all built like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. I didn't realise there's a place in Australia that where everyone looks like they're farmhands. They all look like Brock
Lesnar. They do talk about it in this one, funnily enough. But that thing about farm strength. About how
it's a different kind of strength.
It is. A lot of the early pioneer wrestlers from the 1900s, early, you know, all the way through to the 30s and 40s, a lot of them were farmers.
Like labourers. Like,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Farmer Jim Burns was a sort of big name. And it was just because you were just, you know, doing machine work as a man. You were out 12 hours a day,
yeah.
you know, lifting and punching cattle and stuff like that, you know. Just drinking nothing but full fat milk.
Nowadays, just you says these and red diesel, mate, innit?
Yeah.
Scum.
And,
scum farmers.
What, hiring out the barn for a wedding? that reminds me, Peter.
Oh, what?
I've got some aristocratic tittle-tattle.
Oh, have you now?
Yeah, I saw an Instagram post from Lady Victoria Harvey.
Oh, okay.
She's very against the mainstream media.
Okay.
She's quite a fan of QAnon.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. As in Lady Victoria Harvey, was she one of the, like...
girls. That wasn't a thing.
Right.
When there were some posh girls who sort of looked pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, and they could get them to do a little bit of loaded. They sort of went, it girl.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
but
interesting.
Yeah, she was...
So she's a QAnoner.
Yes. So
it
if anybody says...
Anyone in.
If anybody says to you, what's Lady Victoria Harvey up to these days? You can
say,
why? She's full of shit. Well, news reaches me, my dear lady, that she has gone round the fucking bend.
Oh. We've had the vapors.
Yes, a Peter Gate. And then we get to the main event, the Women's Royal Rumble. The first ever time a women's match was the main event at one of the big four pay-per-views.
Mm.
So Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam and WrestleMania. And this was the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. Introduced by Maria Menounos. Who was she's a TV anchor in the States, huge wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And she comes out, they boo her a bit.
Right.
And I don't think they're booing Maria Menounos.
Right.
And then certainly not booing the concept of a Women's Royal Rumble being the main event.
It'd be weird if there was just sits a lair.
They are big wrestling fans here.
Yeah.
You know, they are cheering, you know, in the right place there. You know, you will see later, they cheer a bit where Mickey James and Trish Stratus face off.
Mm.
You know, and so they know wrestling and things. Mm. And I think there's a sense here that is Maria Menounos the best person to do a little bit of historic ring announcing?
Yeah.
You at this time had Sunny was around, Sable, you know, you didn't, I don't think China was alive by this point. I think she may have passed away.
Yeah.
But there is that sense of going, why didn't you give this to someone who could be seen as a pioneer of where we are now? Wendy Richter would have been a good and safer choice with less politics. Mm-hmm. Alundra Blaise. There were plenty of choices that they could have done. And so they do boo her. And I think they're booing the company. Maria Menounos, as a fan, is aware that that's how it might be taken. And so when she does the thing where she goes, you know, Royal Rumble, there's booing. And she kind of goes, I know.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh, don't ever acknowledge the booking. The booing is the one thing you must never acknowledge. You can never rise above the booing by going, guys, I know. I know I'm a bad booking. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's making it worse. You just have to get through. I get it, she says. I get it. Don't patronise me. If you get it, why are you there? If you understand the mindset of the fan so well, why aren't you as disgusted as I am that it's not Sonny? Bring out Sonny! They should have got a legend. Sad that. And then they bring out guest commentator Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon taking a lot of credit in this period for the women's evolution stroke revolution. She'd been called out by AJ Lee, Stephanie McMahon, when she tweeted a thing about equality in pay in Hollywood. And AJ Lee had sort of done a reply to it, just saying, nice to see you're concerned about everyone in Hollywood. What about the people in WWE?
I never tire of people just completely getting blindsided by their own fucking stupidity. Of course that is what people is going to think.
I react differently when it's my money. I will look at podcasts that have Patreons and I will look at it and I'll go, that's expensive.
We wouldn't do it otherwise. We couldn't do it anyway.
We should put it up. I think madly. Absolutely that. The problem with WWE, of course, is they control the television. So they can present it however they want. And in time, archaeologists will look back and they will go, she was the pioneer of the women's division. Because what they won't do is go through a load of discarded tweets. And that's the heartbreak. If this podcast, Pete, has one purpose.
Two purposes.
KFC
chicken.
KFC sponsorship. Yeah. Got to go to KFC. It's wonderful. Frying tonight.
Is that the name of the...
It's a new one. They're launching it very soon. Yeah.
What, frying tonight?
Frying tonight. And you go... Zzz. You make the sound like the chicken.
Oh, frying tonight.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's have we done three? just I've got to call them at the end, make sure we've hit the. So the important thing is yes, bringing pleasure to millions,
yes,
of course. But the other thing is, it must never ever ever be forgotten that Stephanie McMahon does not deserve women. The credit for women doing well. Yeah. that's the key. Mm. You get Raw champion Alexa Bliss and the SmackDown champion Charlotte Flair. They are on commentary. Oh, they're not even on commentary. They just stick them on chairs.
Yeah, it was weird that, isn't it? What was it like?
Because there's a title shot at the end of it.
Right.
I think they wanted to. Why didn't they want them to go in? I suppose you have two champions you have to get rid of, and what you're doing is if you're going for a title shot, you don't want Charlotte Flair to be at the point where people go, well, what if she wins it? Does she challenge Alexa Bliss?
You challenge herself.
Yeah, or she could challenge herself and not do it. I suppose, they're going, well, it's a championship shot. Let's put you there. They did manage to get 30 women, and it didn't feel like you were going, oh, that's a shocker there. everyone was a really good booking. So oddly, you don't miss them too much in this. Yeah. I imagine Charlotte Flair was a bit put out about not being in the first ever Women's Royal Rumble.
Yes.
She has a load of historic things that she can put her name to, and to not have that one, you'd be a bit like, oh, that's a bit of a fucking downer. But out comes Sasha Banks as the first entrant. She's wearing a Wonder Woman-inspired costume. She is such an important wrestler, and she's becoming increasingly more important as time goes on.
Mm.
Not just for the fact that she is incredibly reliable, incredibly good in the ring. She's just a very, very good performer who is always a high-level performer.
Mm.
She is pushed in a brilliant way. She could be the face of the company. It's I'm puzzled as to how Becky Lynch leapfrogged her to some degree.
Yeah.
But as she becomes essentially The Rock now, where she gets Star Wars gigs, and there's a new role for a strong female lead in the Star Wars universe that's just opened up a little bit more. now there's a big Gina Carano sized hole there. She is going to just simply become bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
She looks fantastic. I find it very hard with Sasha Banks to make it clear that objectively, I think she's a wonderful professional wrestler, and not look like I'm just going, She is so beautiful. She's such a beautiful lady. She is a very beautiful lady, but I think as a pro wrestler, I think she's a phenomenal, just all-round package.
Mm.
I think the same about Bayley. And I think, you know, you don't see what Bayley would become in this Royal Rumble, but I think the two of those two performers are the two most important WWE performers of lockdown. Mm. I think they've been just routinely and regularly as good as any performer on the card.
Yeah.
And they've done that for such an extended amount of time. It's impossible not to say they might be two of the best wrestlers in the company. They are great. My mum and dad, oddly, were watching. They popped on Channel 5 the other day, and it was Raw.
Oh, right.
And they have an hour-long sort of edited down version.
Yeah.
I think I watched one of them the other day, and it was 35 minutes before any wrestling started. The rest of it had just been chat. So that was tiresome. But they saw the match that came on as they were flicking over was a women's wrestling match. And they could not believe it. The last time they probably saw anything to do with wrestling would have been about 1991, 92, when they'd come in and I'd had it on a video. And they could not believe what had happened. They were just like, the women were so beautiful. They were moving so fast. Everything was just incredible. My mum and dad are coming to 80 this year. They're going to be 80 this year. And they watched that and they were just blown away by what must have seemed like the future. I mean, it is just astonishing. It's very, very easy to forget that, you know, because some of these wrestlers are women, you know, that you forget to the world at large, they look like pinups.
Yeah.
And as wrestling fans, you are just like, you know, the work they do is just sensational. It's Becky Lynch comes out, I think, as number two. She's still got a little sort of hint of the steampunk going on. She's got her goggles and her horrible leather buckle jacket.
She gets given Rocket League again.
She just
sells
computer
games.
They chuck it on.
That's probably why she leapfrogs over.
Yeah.
Because she just sells stuff.
I think she is at this point probably 8 months away from becoming, for a short period, the single biggest star in wrestling.
Mm.
It's an amazing sudden ascent that she does that is almost Stone Cold Steve Austin like, and it makes her the biggest star in the industry, male or female, for a good few months. It's just remarkable. I'm really looking forward to actually doing a little bit when we get to the sort of rise of Becky Lynch.
Mm.
She is a wrestler that I think is less, I find her less enjoyable to watch than I do most of the other high flight ladies who perform in the WWE.
Mm.
But that's just a personal thing. I think she stomps too much. I think she stomps and her wrestling is scrappy.
Right.
There we are.
Well, that's all right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Sarah Logan comes out after that. Sarah Logan, if you worked in an office with Sarah Logan, she would be pretty much everyone just go, she's probably the most naturally beautiful woman in this office.
Right.
In here, they basically go, she's Bigfoot's sister. They have her wearing rags from the wood. Her hair is all done in like dreadlocks and everything. They are like, she is a muddy woman. poor girl. You know, the gimmick that she has sort of is Kentucky backwoods girl, which she then sort of rotated more into her real life, which was Kentucky backwoods sort of hunter.
Right.
And she's also, she had a Viking themed wedding to her husband, who is one of the members of, he's in the Viking Raiders tag team.
Oh, is he? Right. Okay.
Yeah. I look at his tattoos quite a lot. He's very into Norse.
Right. Oh, yeah. You've got to be careful.
Yeah. He goes on about like how he's like, you know, I got Norse heritage and stuff. And it's like, ooh.
Yeah. You've got to look at the symbols and you're like, I would spend ages looking at that iconography before I figured out what was going on.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fine.
I would look at it and go, is it worth me doing this when I know that there's some pitfalls? And even if I make sure the pitfalls aren't there, I'm going to have to spend a lot of my life explaining to people when they go, hey, buddy, what's that shit in you? And you're going, no.
Yeah.
It's proper Norse.
Yeah.
I've been through.
Yeah.
It's none of the.
It's been checked.
None of the right.
Well, I'll have you know it's been co-opted quite recently by the stormfront.org website.
Oh, God.
Shit.
Fucking hell.
God, they ran out of all of the other ones.
Pass me that potato peeler. but there's also a part of me, Pete, that goes to be really into like Norse and Viking
Norse stuff
when you're not Norse.
He is Norse. He said he was Norse.
Going back, my surname's Haynes. It's Haynes. Nes is a Norse suffix,
right?
So they go, that's a Viking name. Nes. Yeah.
Okay.
You know. Well, I mean, you know. You don't see me with runes everywhere.
Runes?
I'm not into the runes.
Mark. He just visited Jorvik Viking Centre in York. And he just went Viking crazy.
He would go there and I can imagine him going, so what do you reckon the footage on the old Viking longboat is? 160, 170? You know, you're just a nerd. You big fucking nerd. How can you have those tattoos and not be a fucking...
Wrong'un.
How can you not? How can you not? How can you not?
How can you not, mate?
How can you not? So yeah. She went a little bit sort of, you know, I am a Viking sort of backwards woman.
Right, okay.
I mean, all of these things sound like red alerts, don't they? There's a woman in the woods who's talking about Viking runes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, anyway. Mandy Rose comes out. Mandy Rose, one of the classic examples of a wrestler who could have just... totally sort of had a lackluster career because of the virtue of her incredible, like, you know, the gifts that nature has bestowed on her. She's a beautiful woman.
Mm.
And she could have just been in this for a year, you know, and just left. And she's one of those people who every time you see her, she'd got better and better and better at wrestling to the point where I genuinely look forward to her wrestling. She is much better than... she absolutely has any need to be.
Mm.
She is a really, really good performer. She's one of the people that when they signed her originally, she took part, I think, in a sort of tough enough type competition.
Yes, okay.
And she didn't win it. She came second. and Vince McMahon basically fired the first girl who won Tough Enough, and they kept Mandy Rose on. And it was seen as being, oh God, they've taken on another model. But she's just one of those people who seems to have just really got wrestling in a way that I find lifts my heart. Again, I need to distinguish between the fact I think she's a great wrestler and the fact that I'm not simping over her like some horrible
simping,
Corey Graves. I never think about it, Pete, because I'm talking about women wrestlers and it's all I've thought about all week.
But the thing is, for me, I think with this show is and the Women's Royal Rumble, I've not seen a lot of these characters, and so I'm getting a lot of people thrown at me, and I don't know who's who, and even the Hall of Famers, I think, that appear,
yeah,
they were wrestling at a time where it was a bit fucking denigrating. So the pops that should be there aren't there for me because they were, you know, they were either doing fucking pillow fights or, you know, at that time,
completely.
They weren't doing pillow fights, but you know what I mean?
What you see with Lita, who comes out as well with a hashtag Time's Up on a show, which I get the feeling might have been like added late when some of the checks have been done. She comes out and this is really the first time a female performer has ever got the reaction from the crowd of the surprise return.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't think that's ever happened before in history. Yeah. She comes out and the reason for that is exactly as you say. We've never heard a big pop for a returning female star before because there has never been a division that warranted either excitement about someone returning or even warranted a return.
Yeah.
People who were working as female wrestlers in these periods, when they left, they never brought them back. There was no need. Why? Get someone else, get someone cheaper, get someone younger.
Yeah.
You know, there was no need. So this is a sort of like weirdly historic moment where for someone like Lita, this is one of the biggest receptions she'd have ever, got.
But I mean, you sort of talked about China a little bit earlier. That would have been a big pop for me. That would have been fucking hell. That's mind-blowing.
Completely. Stephanie McMahon, as Lita comes out, she mentions that she has written on her her arm some of the women who paved the way for her to be there, who weren't there that evening. And so they read out the commentators mention Alundra Blaze, Sensational Sherry, Miss Elizabeth, and Stephanie is the one who flags up. And China, don't forget China, she says. Now, Triple H and China had a relationship for a number of years.
Yeah.
And that ended when Triple H began squiring. That's a word squiring. I didn't think I'd end up using. Ended up going out with Stephanie McMahon. So I think, you know, there was certainly some bad blood. And China had been a problem for the company in that her post-WWE career was full of the sort of things which very much went against their image as a family-friendly brand. So it was a very difficult thing to actually bring her back. They never did. And so what you get here is you get Stephanie McMahon consciously saying, you know, China, let's remember the importance of China in this industry. China was, to some degree, whereas you had people like Sonny and Sable before, who were very much the huge stars because of the way they looked and the rarity of women in wrestling as a whole. What you ended up with China was you ended up with someone that people legitimately wanted to see wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to see her wrestle the men. She was, you know, unique and exciting.
I wish we'd seen, through our project, I wish we'd sort of seen a bit more of her because it was just, whenever she turned up, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Shook that block to death.
Yeah. And she was wrestling in a division, of course, where she had no competition.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody else out there who was like her. She was wrestling people like Ivory and Ivory, while very good, was a good foot shorter than she was. And so there was no way of building up a division. What you can see, I mean, at no other point really in history could they have done a Women's Royal Rumble, because the idea of finding 30 active female wrestlers would have been almost impossible. Unless, of course, you went to Japan, where, you know, you'd have hundreds and they were of a caliber, the likes of which we had never, ever seen before. What is sort of fun about this match is they continue to book it well. Because they've had the men's one, they're going, well, we don't want to duplicate stuff. We don't want two bits. So there's lots and lots of little bits. This one is more sort of about keeping the action going.
Yeah.
And the entrances are great. You get Kairi Sane coming in, the pirate princess.
She absolutely kicks the shit out of everyone.
Amazing. One of those sort of like perfect things of going, it's like a fairy just sort of like floating in and then suddenly just punching you in the face. She is a really, you know, high level Japanese performer for Stardom for a number of years.
Right.
And she came to WWE as part of the Mae Young Classic that they had, which was a tournament, which she surprisingly won. She beat Shayna Baszler, who seemed to be the favorite going in. And she is just a thrilling performer. Her gimmick of being a pirate It comes from the fact that she is actually a competitive saleswoman. I think she might have tried out for the Olympics for Japan, but she is a very high level saleswoman. So of course she's a pirate, and she comes out with her, you know, a little telescope and things. But the movements that she does are so brilliantly Japanese. Mm. It's so theatrical and so right. She's fantastic in this. She barrels into people at a rate of knots, and the elbow off the top rope that she does, which she gets to do on a couple of people in this, is just incredible.
Macho-man-esque.
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. She was actually a replacement in this. She wasn't due to be in it. She was a replacement for Alicia Fox, who was, she damaged her tailbone, I think, and had to pull out. Alicia Fox, another one of those people who I don't think you'll have even seen. She'll have been in maybe a battle royal of women at a royal at a WrestleMania, but she would be beyond obscure. She was a girl who never really took to wrestling as an art form, but she managed to have quite a long career somehow. It is sort of remarkable. You then get sort of, you know, the middle point where they bring people out, Tamina, Dana Brooke. They bring back Tori Wilson, who is, you know, the commentators really push as being, you know, she was a great trailblazer wrestler and everything. She was not a great wrestler by any means. She was more of a valet who occasionally they sort of ended up having to do a bra and panties match or a, you know, roll around in mud or a chocolate pudding or an eggnog match.
What the hell is a chocolate pudding or an eggnog
match? They're all the same thing. Right. They're just a way of getting ladies into liquid.
Oh, good. She's wearing very risky Uzo-style trousers as well.
Yes.
She poops herself. Very embarrassing. She's quite tall. She seemed a good foot taller than everyone else, but I think she's billed as being like 5'7". I'm going, that's not right.
Yeah. I think there is a funny thing about how small the female wrestlers are.
Yeah,
I think, you know, there's a certain amount of, they are normal height.
Yeah,
and so that means most people are 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah,
When you get people like Tamina. I imagine Tamina, who looks very tall in this. She's the daughter of Jimmy Snuka, by the way.
Oh, okay,
I imagine she comes out and you kind of go, "God, she's a monster." And I bet if you met her, you'd be like, "She's 5'11".
She's 5'11". Her dad's the monster.
They bring out Sonya Deville, Liv Morgan, Molly Holly, who returns after a few years away. She was the sidekick of the Hurricane.
Right.
She had a superhero gimmick.
She, like at one point they got, she was trained by Dean Malenko in Finland. It's such a weird sentence. In Finland.
She got one of her first breaks working as a member of Team Madness with Macho Man Randy Savage in WCW. Where she was, she talks about him. It's coming up in the newsletter this week. She talks about him just saying, he was very intense. They said he didn't sleep a lot. He sounds hard work. She's one of those people who's so nice. She doesn't like say he was a living nightmare. But yeah. She's very polite and very sweet and probably far too kind. Probably, and she always gave the impression that she was too nice for the business.
Right.
That she was, you know, not going to compromise her own principles, which everybody else happily does. KFC Colonel.
KFC Colonel.
We then get Ruby Riott comes out. Vicky Guerrero makes a return. Just an incredible voice. So she I mean,
absolutely
appalling voice.
Karen character.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you know what, Pete? No one's ever called it the Karen character, and that's exactly what it should
she's
be.
She's let me speak to the manager.
She was the general manager of SmackDown and Raw. Mm. So after Eddie Guerrero's death, that she was, you know, brought in to do a number of bits and bobs. And very quickly, they decided to make her a heel. It's a very bold move to take the widow of one of your most beloved stars and go, we can run with this. And for a while, she was really the focus point of SmackDown.
Right.
And she did it largely by that awful voice, you know, which is just an amazing thing to possess. Just shouting, excuse me, shouting at everyone, wailing.
Is excuse me a thing that she did before? Excuse me, excuse me. That was her, her thing, right?
She's been shouting that since about, I would say, 2006.
But it doesn't really sort of go any...
When it started, she would be coming out and she'd be going, excuse me, that is not going to happen.
Yeah.
But now it's become just a thing of it's her catchphrase.
She's
just
shouting
so she just
constantly.
Screams out, excuse me, with then nothing to follow up. You know, it's in a way, that's even worse. But a proper wrestling character where you go, I don't know who this woman is, but I know I'm supposed to hate her. I've got an indication that she's pushy and that she's going to be quite bad athletically. And, you know, that's sort of what you want from wrestling. I absolutely... I mean, I adored seeing her. I will never, ever not enjoy seeing Vicky Guerrero, but for a short period. Don't want her to be around forever. You then get, in fact, one person I have missed off who runs into Vicky Guerrero there is Michelle McCool.
Right,
comes
yes.
out. Michael Cole says, one of the best pure athletes in the women's division and one of the top women superstars of the last 15 years. Mm. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. During the period where Vicky Guerrero was playing around, was the time when Michelle McCool was also on the cards.
Yeah.
And Vicky Guerrero was 10 times the star Michelle McCool was. Mm. Michelle McCool held the Divas title with a lady called Layla L, and they were sort of two besties, and they were all me, you know. Mm. And they did a long program where they mocked Mickey James for putting on weight. Which was the clever way that the WWE office had decided they wanted to make Mickey James know.
Feel like shit. Yeah.
So they did a long angle called Piggy James. Right. Now, Michelle McCool is one of those people, if you go back and watch those matches, you will just go, hang on, did he say one of the best pure athletes in the women's division? One of the top women superstars of the last 15 years. Absolute revisionism.
Right.
And it's done, of course, because she is the wife of The Undertaker.
I see.
So all of that is beyond ridiculous. Mm. It's just I'm not supposed to watch all wrestling going back 40 years. But if you lie to me, I will pick it up. And it's such an egregious lie. They put her in there and they have her eliminate Sonya Deville, Liv Morgan, Molly Holly, and Lana in quick succession, setting her up. She was a joke character. She was a sort of like supposed to be a pretty woman who used to sort of just go, yeah, you know. It's so infuriating to see it done. It's what do they want to happen? What do you want? The Undertaker to come out of fucking retirement again? I was thinking to myself,
you'll do it anyway.
He'll do it. You don't have to go on about how great his wife is. It's just weird. My point on that, getting annoyed about it, was they did not bring Vicky Guerrero out and say she was the main event at the time when Michelle McCool was doing her thing. You know, they didn't make that clear.
Yeah.
And I felt for Vicky Guerrero there. Underrated. Mm. Also, it's good as Vicky walks off, Carmella comes in with her Money in the Bank group briefcase and Vicky clonks her in the head with it.
Yeah.
So Vicky, having been thrown out, they don't just go, she's a comedy character. They make her go, oh, she got the last laugh. Yeah. I really like that.
Well, Carmella does like a moonwalk.
She does. Carmella's so entrance cool. is thrilling. It's really good. Yeah.
She does a moonwalk. She gets knocked out by Vicky Guerrero. Yeah. And then, you know, she just, I love it.
I mean, what? It's not a bad night's work.
But she's knocked out, like, there's a knocked out character in the men's Royal Rumble as well. Yes. So she plays that role as well.
Yeah. They bring in, like, Natalia comes in. Natalia, one of the Hart family. Always get the impression with Natalia when she comes in, she is happier actively wrestling than doing anything around it,
yeah.
Which is sort of seems like the opposite of everybody else in WWE. Mm. She seems to really enjoy the in-ring stuff, and the rest of it she slightly seems to struggle with, which is, you know, she's really good in the ring. And then Kelly comes out. That's a return.
I've seen her.
You've seen Kelly Kelly before. That's right. Yeah, you've met her in real life.
Have I?
Yeah.
Did I?
Well, we were in the same building as her. I think we saw her from a distance.
I met you.
Kelly. I know you. She's the same as Tori Wilson. She comes from an era where, you know, there was no women's wrestling as, you know, a competitive element of WWE. She was so American beautiful. She was just, you know, picture perfect. I think I said this in an old podcast. She is that sort of, you've never met anyone in Britain who looks like Kelly Kelly. She is just a uniquely American beauty.
Well, when we sort of like, when we went, that was it Raw, SmackDown, I can't remember which one it was, but she was there and all the boys were going, Kelly Kelly. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? What is this?
It is weird, isn't it? She's not going to come out and go, curious. I will pick one of you to marry.
Yeah. Weird.
Out comes Naomi. And again, you know, Naomi, you know, just underpushed, a really, really talented performer. Mm. You get when she gets in that ring, you just go, just please leave and just do a year showing how you can do it. And then you'll come back and they will give you more money. Mm. They will give you more money and more time. She's always thrilling in the tiny little bits they give her. After her, you get Jacqueline, a classic sort of Attitude Era performer, slightly before the Attitude Era. But she,
I think we've seen her. I think we've seen her in a previous show. I don't know why
she was in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Oh, so we may have seen her there. Yes.
She was. She started in the late '80s. She was known as Miss Texas, and she was wrestling men because there were no real other women wrestlers in Texas. Mm. One of my favorite bits about her is the sort of non-canon world of the UK pay-per-views, and she once exposed her boobs. They did a bit where a top got ripped off when she was on the shoulders of someone.
Right.
Slightly because there was a misunderstanding between the WWE and what they believed was normal in the UK.
In Europe, they had
that thing of going, page three. We understand page three. They open their newspaper.
And look at some boobies.
Which, let me say, Pete, in retrospect now, seems
mental.
Absolutely mental.
But at the same time, we were having our breakfast cereal and opening boobies and page three. I remember, it must have been like, I went down to London when I was very young and I saw like a nipple on an advert. And I remember thinking, that's very European. That's very new.
The WWE had that thing of going the Europeans are fine with toplessness.
Yeah.
They're all topless. They're all topless all the time.
All the time, yeah.
It was done by the Cat, who was a performer. She flashed her boobs.
Right.
And then the Jacqueline one was sort of more, she was in the middle of the ring on someone's shoulders being slowly rotated. They didn't seem to realise that it wasn't as normal as you'd imagine it would be. What it had gone from, it wasn't just going page three, which nobody really took any notice of, apart from people who were like, this is disgusting. And everyone was like, is it? And it's just always been there. Mm. That was just like a stripper. That was seeing a woman being displayed
in
front of an audience. I mean, it was a very, very bad call on the WWF's part. That's part of the reason I believe, and this is just my supposition, they've never put the UK pay-per-views on the network.
Right.
And I presume it's because they would have to either edit or leave out. And what it does is remind people that exists. Mm. And I think they're very much like, we prefer all of our mistakes to be forgotten. Thank you very much. And not talked about. We'll rattle through the rest because, geez, oh, it's difficult to do the Royal Rumbles on this. Mm. Nia Jax comes out. She eliminates everyone. she is very good.
Yeah.
They are setting her up and going. And what we didn't really have in the last one was we didn't have anyone come in and dominate in the way that Nia Jax does.
Yeah.
So they are sort of like, you know, well booked as being different from each other, the two Royal Rumbles. She's really good. She has since got a reputation for being a bit dangerous and sloppy. But you see her in this when they were booking her as a monster. Brilliant. Absolutely great. Out comes Ember Moon. I hope one day is going to become a huge, huge star. Every time you see her, she performs like she does here, which is 100 miles an hour, incredibly hard-hitting, incredibly creative, incredibly crisp. She was trained by Booker T. You wouldn't know it. You would not know it. She comes out and she's selling again an injury from TakeOver, And, you know, she still delivers a better performance than all but, four or five people in this match. Just astonishing.
She's so spooky.
She has a sort of werewolf gimmick,
which
they've never said she's a werewolf. But it's got Ember Moon, which always sounds a bit like Twilight-y fanfic that they have. And there was a blood moon, and her move is called the Eclipse.
Right.
But I think they should go full on that, and she should be supernatural. I think it's only fair. Beth Phoenix comes out. She's a Hall of Famer, the youngest person ever to go in the Hall of Fame at the time this was done. She is, since then, of course, there have been some other people, but they haven't been wrestlers.
Right.
There have been people who won the Warrior Award, things like that. Beth Phoenix comes out married to Edge by this point.
Yeah.
She is the only person in the women's match who isn't making their Royal Rumble debut.
Oh, yeah. Because she eliminated the Great Khali.
She did.
I don't think I've seen this. I want to see it. I need to Google it.
It sounds like a great moment of emancipation.
Yeah.
But she eliminates him by snogging him over the top rope. Oh, I know. It's a real shame, isn't it? If they could go back and change everything with a wand, but Vince would die. Vince would be dead.
Yes.
Vince would go take the wand and do it. Honestly, they would. She is great, of course. And worth saying, Nia Jax will go on to appear in a men's Royal Rumble in the years to come. But at that point, she had not been in a Royal Rumble.
Right.
So making that clear. Save your letters. Send them to Jimmy Savile. Asuka comes out.
Asuka!
And, just from the entrance alone, you're like, this is brilliant.
When she takes the mask off and turns around, I'm like, how's she fucking done that? And she just drops it. But she's so good at everything else. I sort of go,
yeah,
I'm in. I'm just like,
totally in.
I love Asuka. She just kicks the shit out of everyone.
She does. There's
she's
a
horrible.
Knee that she does on Sasha Banks, which I think is one of the best timed knees I've ever seen in my life. She gets close to her and Sasha Banks is sort of in movement. And Asuka doesn't just sort of like carry through on the knee. Mm. She pauses and then does it. And it just makes it look like she's gone, not yet now. And like she's a connoisseur of violence. I absolutely love it. It's beautiful to watch. Out comes Mickie James. Mickie James, stuck between two camps here. She'd had a sort of late run, almost like as a veteran. Although,
right.
You know, Jesus Christ, what's a veteran? 36, you know. She looks unbelievably brilliant. She looks exactly the same as she did when she debuted. What she's done, though, which I can't stand, is she's gone for that thing of going, I don't really have a textbook look, so I will change my look radically every time you see me. A million gimmicks is not half as good as one gimmick.
Yeah.
Just have one. Mm. Otherwise, it's just too many.
Werewolf.
It's too many things.
It looks
like you've like you're not in it for the long term. You have to keep buying a new thing. When you go, I will do one more. Outcome Nikki and Brie Bella.
Why are people in the crowd going, whoa, I can't believe it?
I think, like, again, they'd had a retirement. Right, yeah, I think Brie had certainly retired. And I think Nikki had been away for maybe out of action for a considerable amount of time.
Right, okay.
As I've got older, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, I've seen a lot of wrestling. For years, I thought the Bellas were appallingly bad in the ring. Mm. And I don't know what it is. Maybe I've just seen so much wrestling. They are now one of the sort of like key acts that I look forward to seeing when they appear. And I look forward because they don't wrestle like anyone else. I don't know whether it's because they're not good at wrestling or whether they overthink it or what it is, but they wrestle in this strange sort of stiff way. Like they have to remember to move every limb individually every time. Like they're going foot forward, arm forward, foot forward, right?
Like the game Quop. Do you remember that? It's like you control four keys on the keyboard, control each limb,
right,
arm, leg, and two legs.
It's exactly like it's exactly like that. Where they go towards it, and you go, why are they, you know, stiff? Why is everything
right,
sort of
yeah.
funny? And then they'll hit people much too hard. So by this point, of course, they are bulletproof. I think Nikki is still engaged to John Cena.
Yeah.
You've got Daniel Bryan, who is married to Brie Bella. So the two of them are now going out of wrestlers, and they're like, I quite like wrestling now. And they've obviously been sort of going, oh, baby, teach me how to do. And I think, you know, they've sort of gone, I've got, you know, I'll be a bit better at this now.
Yeah.
And they've both learnt some stuff, and they come in and they just kick fucking seven shades of shit out of everyone. They were over-pushed considering how good they were and how popular they were. But I was watching this and I was thinking, this is exactly what I want to see. I want to see Brie come in and give a really violent knee to someone. I want Nikki to come in, look arrogant, and, you know, just be damaging with a forearm. Mm. I loved all of it. They do such a good little end section. So the last person to come in at number 30 is Trish Stratus. Mm. And she really is one of the most important people, along with Lita, in that changing of how people viewed women's wrestling. It stopped being about titillation. And it became about athleticism and, you know, storylines. They were both very good at that. Trish Stratus was another perfect example of someone who was around who did not need to be as good as she became.
Yeah.
She could have had a perfectly good career as a bit of sort of eye candy and a manager and occasionally doing those sorts of matches. But very quickly, she was like, what if I was actually a good wrestler?
Mm.
And she was a decent wrestler. As a female performer at that time, she was head and shoulders above everybody else. A big game changer. The first diva, if you like, who was able to go, I am not just, you know, the external package, but I can also go into that ring and deliver something that the fans will want to see.
Mm.
And that was a big sort of moment. You can trace it through on a very sort of rough level in the 90s of going Sunny, Sable, China, Trish. That is the sort of, you know, the four heavenly pillars, if you like, of wrestling up to the point. At which point, you know, there are other people, Lita, and there are lots of people on the fringes, but those four are very much the pantheon. I think you'd be difficult. You wouldn't really, there's no argument to be made about it, and I will not brook one. I should stress, of course, that's WWE only, not Japan. The fans really do react. They react to Trish facing off with Mickey, which is an old WrestleMania match that we saw. Stratus is then eliminated by Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks has been in it all this time. They haven't really had a standout moment for her in the match, but she gets to eliminate the icon. And that's a sort of, if you like, a symbolic, you know, passing of the torch. Right, okay, really yeah. nicely done. It comes down in the end to Asuka versus the Bellas. Nikki turns on Bella, Brie rather, which is great. You know, they, you know, it's going to happen, but they do it well. I enjoyed it. And then you get Asuka versus Brie and you, versus Nikki. And you know, Nikki can't win this. They don't want you going home on a slightly sort of, she wasn't the greatest wrestler. Yeah. You know, you had Asuka there, you could have had her. And so Asuka wins. You were displeased with this end.
Well, the kick. So they're outside. There's a bit of peril because they're outside of the ropes, but they're still on the
ring apron.
On the ring apron, and Asuka sort of gets knocked down and then kicks out. And I mean, she kicks as hard as and as far as she can go.
Yeah.
The Bella is not Bella. Is not in the right position, or she doesn't sell it properly. But it looks a bit. Shit for a finish. It seems a weird decision to finish like that if that was going to be the finish.
Yeah, I imagine they did it a few times and Nikki was nearer and it looked more impactful. But on the day, it's that thing of going, did that look good? I better go with it. And they do. I mean, I didn't mind it insofar as we'd never seen a Rumble end like that. And I like the fact it sort of was a bit shit. Well, it would be shit in real life if you were doing it. There would be plenty of bits where you were like, I'm going to hit him, and you'd hit him and he'd just sort of like scrape his... One foot go down and then you go, fuck, you know, there's not enough people going shit in the Royal Rumble for my liking.
But they definitely chose the camera angle behind the Bella.
Yeah.
The Bella.
It is a very sudden ending. And actually, it doesn't go over huge. The crowd are a little bit like, oh, OK. You know, and that seems a shame after, you know, but then they've sat through three Royal Rumbles.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I should imagine by that point, they're just like, I don't care. I'm good now. This is over. I've been in 6.5 hours and I'm ready to go. Unfortunately for them, there is a little bit extra. So what happens is Asuka is in the middle and you get Charlotte, Flair and Alexa Bliss coming in to stand in the ring. Ah, that's why they're out there, of course.
Oh, okay.
Because they're doing something for the greater good, which is they aren't going to take part in the Rumble because they want them standing in the ring at the end with Asuka, both the champions, so that they can introduce the next person. So we got to the point now where we're in the era of pointing at the WrestleMania sign. Everyone wins and they just point at it like a moron.
It's silly, isn't it?
I am going there. You always were. You're contracted. I am contracted to go there. Just as she's about to choose who she's going to face at WrestleMania. And Asuka doesn't do this great. She is smiling too much like she's actually genuinely happy rather than, I am delighted to get you, my hands on you.
Yeah.
You know, she's just going, I am very happy indeed. Joan Jett's bad reputation hits and out comes Ronda Rousey, making her not in-ring debut or because she's done WrestleMania maybe a year and a bit ago. Has she?
She appears.
Yeah,
in
she
the
has.
Crowd.
We have is done she, it. I was she, making sure. Yeah. She did a thing with Rock where she did a judo throw on Triple H. Mm. And here she is. She's finally here. Out she comes wearing her Rowdy, Ronda Rousey t-shirt, modeled on the one that was worn by Rowdy Roddy Piper. She was a big fan of him when she was a child and that she'd taken his name when she went into MMA. She comes out wearing a leather jacket that was lent to her. By Roddy's son, Colton. It was one of Roddy Piper's leather jackets. He had passed away in 2015. The son, Colt, had flown from Las Vegas to Philadelphia for the sole purpose of personally delivering it to her to wear in the Royal Rumble. I like stuff like that. The fact the commentators don't say she's actually wearing his legitimate jacket, but you have to go away and find that out.
Yeah, I know, right?
It just seems mad.
Put that in there for crying out loud.
Out she comes. She comes into the ring, and this is a big moment for the WWE. She will become, and she still is, even though she hasn't wrestled in over a year, she is still the highest paid performer in WWE at the moment. Mm. So she's on a huge amount of money. They brought her in, and she was a sort of, it's hard to say a risk, but they weren't sure which way it was going to go for a couple of reasons. One, because she was MMA, and they weren't sure whether or not her big popularity in MMA would translate over to wrestling fans.
Yeah.
And the second is, they didn't know quite what she'd be like. And what she does here is a slightly... They've brought her out and gone, you're going to be a good guy, so smile at everyone, high five. And she does that. But what it makes it look like is it makes it look like she's more excited to be there, which I'm sure she was, than she is in fighting any other women.
Mm.
So they bring her down, this legitimate killer. They bring her... She hasn't killed anyone. They bring her down and she gets into
that
the ring.
That was her father, Superfly Jimmy Snooker.
She goes to sort of shake Asuka's hand and Asuka bats it away. Again, I don't know if Asuka was supposed to do that.
She just goes in business for herself.
Yeah, and Rousey sort of smiles, goes, okay. And then she goes over to Stephanie McMahon and she sticks her hand out and they shake hands.
Mm.
And then she smiles a bit more.
Yeah.
And then she high-fives all the fans and goes away.
Yeah.
Now, I would say this would be a hard debut and a simple section that would be almost impossible to make confusing.
But they managed it.
They do manage it. Yeah. Who would be clear as to what was going on?
Yeah.
She comes down, she smiles at everyone, she sort of sees Asuka, she doesn't go, say, who are you going to pick because I'm picking the other?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, you know. And then she goes and shakes Stephanie McMahon's hand. It's... What are we doing?
Is that contractual negotiation? Surely you have to talk money.
And why are you just smiling all the time? Why don't you get into the middle, just look mean and just look at all three of them and just point at WrestleMania and fuck off?
Yeah.
And then have them just go, who the fuck does she think? Great. Done. Money. Smiling, waving.
Hello.
I rip off people's arms and I'm smiling and waving. I'd like to shake your hand. I'd like to shake your hand. Oh, you won't shake my hand, but I'm not mad. I'm just happy. I'm happy Ronda Rousey. She, of course, will be a huge, huge needle mover when it comes to the business. And, of course, it really does give them a focus for the women's division that pretty much propelled it to where we are today.
Well, there you go.
You can't say fairer than that, Pete.
I enjoyed that immensely.
Oh, it's always good fun. I do enjoy a Royal Rumble, but I tell you what, it's a pain having to try and make sense of it when you're on WrestleMe.
It's hard because there's not, matches. Things don't happen in, like things that I wrote down, I couldn't find a space for. So I'll be releasing those notes.
I expect you all to pick up a copy.
On a GitHub.
I'll be leaving them outside my house. I do need them picked up by 10 a.m. and I will note down any listeners who haven't got theirs.
Ignore the bottle of piss.
Respect is due. Look, we're going to be back and we are going to be back with WrestleMania.
Oh, lovely.
Unless there's something that happens in the 2 months between. It depends whether we need to pad it out, Pete.
Exactly. Somebody might die. They may bring back the KFC Royal Rumble.
Sure, wouldn't it be good if we just sort of said, you know what, from now on, we're just going to talk about the history of KFC. We're going to talk to everyone who's run it. That would be brilliant. I can't tell you anything because it's all a secret.
Nuts.
Boo. Can you just tell me one thing? Do you have the footage of AJ Styles rightly winning the Colonel Royal Rumble? I can't get the name right.
Let me take you back to 2012. A man is being fed popcorn chicken over the counter at the Holloway Road. Yeah.
Is this what's known as a Papa's Clack?
Oh, wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.